Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow to get notifications when a new episode drops. Hello, everyone. We're back. We're ready to rock. And I have a super special guest. And I continue to say this because I'm thankful that people want to talk to me with me. Usually I do most of the talking, but that's okay. We get to listen to a little bit of what they're saying. I have my very, very, very good friend, my sister, if you will, Tansy, with us today.
Hello.
Hello, Tansy.
Hello.
Top of the morning to you, laddie. Top of the morning to you, laddie. I love Tansy. She is my family. She is my friend. She is somebody that is hilarious. And we're going to share some of our hilariousness with everybody and talk about, everything. We're going to unpack some shit today, you guys. So I want to just say thank you, Tansy, for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, of course. And also, I want you to tell your side of the story on the first time we met versus my side of the story the first time we met.
I think we remember different stories here. You know,
I think so, too.
Let me see. I might not have this correctly on exactly, but...
She doesn't.
I see. Sports Authority. No. Yeah, it's Golfsmith, actually.
She already started off on the wrong foot.
Is this thing on?
Is this rolling?
No, Golfsmith. You're a visual merchandiser. Mm-hmm. And I had just, I think I started that company for whatever my reasons, but when you came in, you were like a new part of the company. That time I still didn't understand it. And still to this day, I don't think you understood it, but it's fine. But I don't mean it as in
that's
the work
thing.
That's
also why they didn't make it.
Hence, they're no longer in service. But the whole thing is that when you came in, I got recruited. So I knew a lot of the people there. And that whole outside visual merchandising thing, you know, when you're not really sure what's going on in the business, people lead you to these areas of understanding exactly what you start drinking the juice, I guess, you know.
The fucking Kool-Aid.
I know, the fucking Kool-Aid. And it's just Kool-Aid. It just happens. And like you coming in and the little things that you're doing, it made no sense, especially, you know, they're training me one way, you're doing it another. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Of course.
Where do you guys think this is going?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just sum it up right now is I think I was the biggest bitch in the world to you. But I don't think I was the bitch to you, but I was you
talking. That whole store.
Me specifically, because I was just a freaking part-time cashier. It's not like I had a say in anything. I wasn't even in management yet.
You weren't the warehouse manager yet?
No. I wasn't even I was a part-time cashier and substitute teaching at that time. So I was barely there. But at the times you were there, you'd come in, like the things they teach me to help them out with, and then you'd go and change it, and they're really getting annoyed, and it kind of like trickles down like anything in corporates, right? You're part of this crew that just wants to throw this stuff at you, and you're like, oh, okay, we hate her? Okay, cool, we hate her. You know, I didn't know
they hated me. And I just want you guys to know this. I don't do well with that. I think the whole world should love me. And I know they won't. I know they won't. But I had, I traveled to different stores and it was the Ontario store, which was far from me. I was in San Diego. I mean, not far, far, but it was a further one. And I would go there. And the first couple times I went there, so it was all pretty much women in leadership roles there. Like the store manager was a woman. Not all of them. There was guys there too, don't get me wrong, but the main ones, the hens, the little
clucky hens.
Which was one of the few stores in that company because it, it was a male-run company.
It was a male-run company, golf, you know, at the time, you know, super...
I mean, who knew golf and men? I never saw that.
Never saw it. But there were women, a lot of women were in this store. The guys were just like excited that I would come to the store and make it look nice so they didn't have to fucking do it because they wanted to just watch the TV, watch the golf games.
Exactly.
And practice their swing, talk about that they did a putt-putt, birdie-birdie, whatever language
exactly,
it is.
Exactly.
And no one gave a shit. I didn't. But I went in because I was like, oh my gosh, this is the field I wanted to be in. I started from the bottom and I'd go to that store. And after like the third time, I'm like, I want to jump in front of my car on the 15 freeway and be run over before I get there. And Tansy, I feel like, but you came up, became like a warehouse manager like a little bit after.
We were already friends when I did.
Okay.
But
she was a bitch. You guys, this story will go to my grave and I pray I never have to say it again.
I can be a bitch, but I don't recall ever being a bitch to you.
She was such a bitch to me.
I think you have a random story.
And they would talk
head.
Shit like I didn't know they were talking shit about me. And also, if I would do something like make it look nice, make it look pretty, when I would come back a week later, it would all go back. They would change it after I left. Tansy would tell me. Then once her and I kind of started talking, and I'm like, I mean, she's like a semi-bitch, I guess, whatever.
Well, only because I told you the truth.
Like, yeah.
Because
she's like,
I
they
didn't
change
care.
It right after you leave. They would literally change everything you did.
Well, also, let's look back at that position at the time. Because you know it was ridiculous as well.
Yeah.
You know, you put the shorts on a hanger facing forward where you see the zipper and everything. You come in and you fold them halfways and stretch them out and then they're on sideways. Really, what kind of job was that, dude?
That
Let's
hurt.
Just be honest. Your potential was way above that. But
100%,
at the time,
but
come
I just
on.
Graduated. Yeah, I just, you know, I went, like I said, bottom of the barrel. But the... But I met
Tansy. Thank you for changing the shorts. I appreciate you.
Thank you for putting them the wrong way and making it look so stupid. But she then would be, she was a warehouse manager, so I would go in the back and chit-chat with her. And she was fine. She was fine, right?
Yeah, I was in my own little world there.
But she was back there and she was running. I mean,
everyone was gone by then, too.
But she also had like a very, like she has a leadership personality. But I remember before she was still on the fence about being a bitch. I, as you guys know, I know nothing about my car. I know nothing about barely, I don't even know how to put gas in.
This story is wrong, too,
so
by
I
the
was
way.
Driving because I would drive like an hour plus to get to this stupid store where everyone was mean and made me feel like I was in high school and like bullying me in the corner. And I was like, I'm getting paid in hugs. I'm getting paid in high fives here. Fuck my life. So anyways, I'm like, Tansy, I think I have a flat tire. Can you help me? And she's like, yeah, I will help you after work. And so she got off at like, let's say 3 o'clock. And I would usually leave around the same time. So I was planning it.
Did you leave at the same time?
So I go and then I go in the back and she'd already left for the day. So then I had to ask some guy at the gas station if he'd help me put air in my tire. And that's where I should have ended it then. But we're still friends.
But let's be real. I did wait for you. You took a little longer than planned on coming out.
You didn't wait for me. How would I ever know that?
Timing, it wasn't quite your strong suit. Let's just admit that.
God, he's so rude.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who could defend me on this one.
Now I have a child
now you have reasons, but at that time.
There was traffic. It was far. I was plotting my own death so I wouldn't have to go in that toxic store.
Also, really, was it that hard to put air in a tire?
Yes, I still don't know how.
That's a little scary.
I know nothing about cars. Shut up. You know this.
You know they make them now where it actually tells you the PSI.
Nope.
And you just, all you do is hook it up and it beeps when it's
full. I see
that,
but I don't know anything about that.
Oh, man.
I don't even know how to pull the trigger.
It's so easy. Oh, wow. We're going to have to do that as soon as we're done here.
Nope. Never,
just
never,
put
never
in the tire.
So she is, So we started off rocky, real rocky. I talked.
Then it got fun.
Then it got fun. We had a lot
of
fun.
But we did fit the meme though. It's like, you remember that time you were a bitch?
Yes, and we do.
Thank God we're friends.
Yeah, like, we do. Cool. And every time, and once a month, maybe I will be like sending her one that says that, and then she's like, "Yeah, I know. I remember.
That's true.
I remember everything." We've had some very funny stories. I really liked working for Golfsmith. It was the first time I was introduced. I've said this before.
Are we allowed to say their name?
Yeah. No,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, there's only 45. Right?
There's zero now, but it's cool. It's a league candidate. It's called Golf Town.
Golf Avenue.
Golf Avenue.
There was, what were we talking about?
Golfsmith.
One thing I really liked about it was that it was my first introduction to being in retail that I wasn't in. I was in retail. Yes, I was in a store, this and that. But it was around men.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked. And it's not because of anything like, oh, it was just the energy of men is fun. They don't care. They're just there. They're just like, you know, talking about probably farts and their shoes. And we didn't care. Women are just, they're bitches. And that's mm-hmm. why I went, mm-hmm. not all the time, but they are. They're bitchy. They're catty. They're fucking
true.
Little hens. And that's what I liked about working at Golfsmith, though, yeah. is because, and we, you would have gone out and you would drink with the guys. And wait, she had a fun store, though. She had some fun guys.
I had a few fun stores.
You did. But that was sort of, I was like, oh my God, they all go out and they all hang out. And I didn't see that in others.
Oh man, we got into a Yukon one day and drove to Vegas 24 hours and came back.
Yeah.
That was with the store manager.
Yeah. And she has some stories, you guys. I mean,
like, it was. I mean, stories that don't exist anymore. I mean, it's a whole different view now. But those stories at that time, you get ignored on the fact that as a woman, you're hugely underpaid. You don't pay attention to that at the time. And then also, these guys were very supportive, but you don't realize how limited it was on females being in the positions that I was. And being in that, now I look at it as a success and how many mentors that came out of that. But you ignore that at the time because you're so engulfed in what else is happening. You know, I'm learning how to make clubs. I have met Kings players that I didn't even know who they were, you know, because I don't watch hockey, you know. But then I meet Danny Granger and then I meet, you know, people come in and I'm like meeting these people left and right. So it's great,
yeah.
you know.
But, yeah, and that was just a fun industry. And that's how I ended up kind of sticking in that, like, sports kind of, you know, athletic industry, which I was thankful because originally, you know, I thought I was just going to, you know, be in the fashion, like, true fashion industry. But, yeah, that was really fun. And Tansy and I have so, so many fun stories. Just, I don't know. What do you think? What's one of the favorite ones when we worked at Golfsmith together?
Oh, my gosh. There could be so many of them for Golfsmith. I don't think I have much of Golfsmith. Actually, I do. I do remember when I had to go and help San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And store manager at the time, I won't mention names, but that store manager at the time, they had to put me in a hotel because they needed help breaking down pallets that were on the floor and whatnot. And then, so you were in this realm now that you're able to, like, readjust your life. Like, oh, I can be, that's my home store. I can be there that day. And of course I requested double beds because I knew, I already knew what was going to happen. Because we were going to go party that night.
And we're going to tell the store managers and the managers, the guys, to come and hang out with us.
I don't remember where we ended that night, but we were walking everywhere. But I still remember going back to the hotel. And I might be mixing stories now that I'm thinking about it because there's so many. Remember when I was trying to get into that hotel room that wasn't even ours?
Yes. This key doesn't fucking work.
I'm knocking on the door.
She's knocking on the door.
I was madly knocking. Like, why isn't this door opening? You see the key in.
And then all of a sudden it was like the numbers were switched. And I'm like, you need to be not in charge of the key and knocking on doors at midnight or 1 o'clock. And I feel like it was like at a Hampton Inn or something, you know, something just easy. Yeah.
No, it was a little sweet. Like it was like was he, it? Mark cooked it up for me like at the time, but it was like, it was a little sweet, like a really cool sweet, you
he
know,
was
but
fun.
It was awesome. But I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't, that was actually pretty funny. But even that night, I don't even know what we drank that night. We were dancing to something.
We were drinking.
I think one time you're looking for me and they're like, where are you? Texting me. I'm like, I'm on the roof. I don't even know what that meant. It's like, oh, what roof could I possibly be on? And you even asked me the next day, you're like, what roof were you on? I go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we just had so much fun. It was so fun when she got to come down because I hated going to Ontario. I fucking hated it. Just the drive too.
It got better when Rob took over.
Yeah, definitely got better.
Because that was funny.
Oh, Rob, if he's listening, he had this aversion to feet. Okay, first
you
of all...
You know I still do that trend, by
yeah,
the way.
Yes, yes.
I hope you do, too.
I do, too. I'll send a random text to everyone. He had this thing with feet. Now, I don't like feet, but he was like almost like... Like his body morphed out of his skin. If anybody had weird feet, if he saw weird feet, and he made the mistake of telling Tansy and
Let's be honest, though. It wasn't just weird. It's just feet. Because you'd come in flip-flops and change.
Yes.
Like, because, you know, you're driving, it's a long drive, whatever. It was just feet.
It was just feet, yeah. But now, even now, and I know Tansy does too, we'll find these fucked up feet. Like, randomly it'll pop up, and then I just send it to him with a smiley face, or I'll tag him in it or something, and it's funny. But then
I send him videos of, like, ingrown toenails getting pulled out.
Oh, God! I get suckered into those videos, by the way, which is terrible.
It's so addicting.
I don't even care, because
I hate... Like the pimple popper crap. It's like, I have to watch this. I have to watch it.
I have to see the results happen.
I don't understand.
But he also, one time, I think you had told me he had gone out to, you guys all went out. I wasn't there. And you're like, and they all went out, you know, they're drinking, whatever, again, beer, whatever. He was drinking like Smirnoff Ice, or he was drinking like, you know, what was it? Something like it was, Mike's Hard Lemonade or some bullshit.
We went to, it was a, I think we were in Topgolf in Austin. Like, wait, it was a conference or something, and he had ordered the first order. Like, we're all getting IPAs, and he's like, spirit off ice. And
yes. I'm
like, what?
And she made the fatal mistake of also telling me. And I'm like, wait, he drank a Smirnoff Ice? Wait, he's like...
Actually, I think it goes back to where he was talking about he had a barbecue at his house. And he was telling us about it. He was so excited about when he barbecued or whatever. And he goes, then I pulled out my Rolling Rock and we both started laughing. Like, what are you... Rolling Rock?
Didn't we get him like
I'm sorry, Sheila, if you're listening, because I know it's your mom's favorite as well. But I was like,
my mom hits it hard.
Rock?
My mom
rolling
hits it hard.
Rock?
Yeah, we razzed him forever. I think
well,
you
we
bought him
that 50. I bought him like, that 50.
50 ounce of it.
Yeah, 50
we're
ounce
like,
of
oh, you're gonna hit hard tonight.
Happy birthday.
You're gonna get crazy. Here's a toe while you're at it. Yeah, that was, we just had so much fun. It was just easy. And that's the first time that I had really worked with men. And I know it sounds so silly because obviously as a woman, you want to be like, oh, women. But it's nice to have the male energy. And also there was a sporting thing, you know, it's like about sports. So it was a bullshit and it was so fun. And then you went on to then, you became a store manager.
I did.
I mean, she worked her way. She did all this.
Manhattan
she checked,
Beach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Manhattan Beach. She checked all the boxes. I was so proud of her.
That was like, talk about a corporate ladder slowly climbing. I mean, that took, it took some time. But,
oh, it is. Yeah.
But when it happened, yeah, it was, I mean, of all the areas, Manhattan Beach. Like,
yeah, that was like top tier. Really great, great location. Everyone wanted to go there because they'd land when they came in from Austin.
Right.
You know, so she was a high profile store. I was so proud of her. That was really, really, really exciting. My ship had sailed. I'm like, I'm done making hugs out of.
But you went to greater things anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that job, even when they brought in, not mentioning names, but when they brought in a marketing team, it was kind of the same thing. Like they just handed out these cards, you know, to different tournaments and stuff. And I'm like, this is the marketing? And I mean, those who are in marketing, I'm like, I would see more out of you guys. Like, you would be doing more. Now, those people who have done it, they're in much higher places now.
Yeah, it was a good start.
At that
yeah.
time, I see it now. At the time, I didn't understand. Like, for you, even learning your potential was always there. I just never understood why you were doing that, but it made sense later, of course.
Yeah, it made sense. I did work up my, I mean, again, that corporate ladder, fuck, the rungs are so tight. You got a 10,000 years
it's
to
true.
Go up a rung. It's just, and why do you think I don't do it now?
Yeah.
Because I gave up. I did. I gave up, guys. I gave up. I wanted to do it. And then I said, you know what? I checked all the boxes. Nothing's happening. I can't do it anymore. Tansy got in the wheel of retail for a long time.
25 plus years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she started at Sports Authority.
No, my first retail job was Nordstrom.
Was
and
it?
I started,
That's
yeah,
right.
Nordstrom.
Yes. Yeah.
Nordstrom. And then I just moved up from there. Nordstrom was just kind of like a seasonal. And it was the same thing. Like I was around mostly guys, you know, men's shoes. So, you know, and they all the men, you know, they all.
Rob would have loved that job.
Yeah, Rob would, yeah. Let me hold your foot for a minute. But yeah, it was men's shoes. And then, then from there, like hitting these retail markets was like the easiest thing. Like you and I were just talking about last night, you could just walk in and apply and like, hi,
yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for coming in. Now that I can meet you, let's interview. And it was so quick and it's not like that anymore, but it kept going up. But I learned the whole little circle of, you know, like fashion, sports, oh my God, men's suits. Remember Saks Fifth Avenue, the job that I like dreaded. So, I mean, Saks, it was like the clearance or the clearance store type. But it was just, you know, sometimes you're just in those environments. I actually got that feeling from that environment.
I do love a man in a good suit, though.
I know, they do. But learning like the types of suits and how the fits, and I mean, I didn't know all that. Tying a bow tie, I'm like...
I barely can tie my shoe.
I'm like,
Velcro.
Seriously, like I wear flip flops.
I wear flip flops and Skechers that you slide your foot
in.
Apparently,
no, it's true. But no, that whole corporate ladder is it's tough, and you just it takes a lot of guts, and it really does give you some thick skin. So
you have to have thick skin in retail. Jesus Lord, you do. And also you've also Goldsmith was then closing.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that was, you know, it was one of those, they're going to close a couple stores, then they close a couple more, and then pretty much they went under. And what did you do after that? Did you go straight to TJ Maxx?
After from Golfsmith, I went to TJ Maxx. Yeah, I got recruited in. Actually.
You got recruited, yeah. And it, I mean, again, it's not a knock on the company that because I freaking love TJ Maxx, Marshalls, mm-hmm. and that whole thing. But again, the corporate ladder, you gotta, you know, you went in there already as a store manager, so you're not, so they don't, they're not gonna bring you in as a store manager because they want you to get your, you know, get in the weeds. Fine, you get in the weeds. But fuck, how many weeds are you in? You're in, you've already been a, you ran a store, you ran a million, couple million dollar store, right?
Yeah, I ran two of them, yeah.
Yeah, so it was million dollar stores. And then it's like, how long were you at TJ Maxx?
10 years.
10 years, still didn't get a store. I mean, like that, and she ran a store. So it's like one of those things where, I was like, get out of this wheel, get out of the hamster
wheel. Politics,
yeah.
It's just...
It is.
It gets worse now because corporations look for that loyalty and you got to move up. And it kind of like what we did. We were going up these corporate ladders. You know, you came back to... I was in Sports Authority prior to Golfsmith. You went to Sports Authority after. You got to go up these corporate ladders in some way. And TJ Maxx is the same thing. I don't knock them. Like, yeah. It's a great company. And I think for a lot of people who start, those who are succeeding, we're all moving up. And, you know, you get to an age, you're like, I don't have this time anymore. It's
yeah,
exhausting.
And also it's exhausting. Retail's yeah. brutal. It's brutal
it
on
is.
Your body.
It is.
It's brutal on your body. It and is. I mean, as you know, you like broke your toe. You know, your back. We
broke my toe, hamstring, back.
I had to have freaking back surgery.
Broke a finger. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just brutal. But it's like, you're like, but I wanted to be a store manager. That was the goal. And so, mm-hmm. and now as a surprise twist, which is really exciting, she just got a new job.
Yes.
Starting in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And she is getting out of that hamster wheel, which I'm so proud of her because I know she has, she's such a leader. And it's like, why doesn't people see that she could do this? And I felt there, they did not give you that opportunity. And then the people that are mentoring you, you're like, how are you a fucking store manager?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one Correct. Lady? Jeez, oh, yeah. That was like, I mean, just toxic shit. And cuckoo.
I did meet some strong managers
of
though.
Course
like
you
there
did.
Are a couple and I still hold them close to me and yeah. But there are some that you're kind of like, actually, even the ones that I had some problems with, some of them were pretty smart as heck. But there's other ones that are like, really? Really?
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't know.
Like, how do you
and it's hard to stay motivated working for people like that. It's not that you don't want to respect them. You really, they don't earn your respect. They don't, they're doing things that is... Again, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm replaceable.
What?
But yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to say it, you know, but on the other level, like watching, you know, you really need the motivation of somebody that really knows what they're doing and or at least giving you an ounce of, you know, confidence that they know what they're doing. And no, it's you're just holding the fort, you know, every time.
One of the things that I had mentioned, so Tansy put me on as a reference for this job that she just got. And one of the things I said, one of the things I said to the guy when he called and I, you know, whatever, she, you know, she got the job. We're good. I didn't say anything bad. What I said was,
you could have, it's
he
okay.
said, he said, I can't remember his question, but one of the things I said, so Tansy, when she was there at the last job, she was every manager, you know, she was the operation. She was this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter what manager she was, every single person that worked there would gravitate to you. And that was one of the things I said. She, the store manager and Tansy could be standing next to each other and they would gravitate and ask Tansy. And that was one of the things I'm like, don't people realize? Like they're gravitating to her. First of all, she has that like persona with you know, just
be approachable.
But
yeah.
Also just like you cared. I mean, you know, you cared that so-and-so's grandma died or you cared that they had a flood and the, you know, whatever bullshit it was. But when anytime they'd go up to, she could be standing next to the store manager, they would go and ask Tansy. They would text Tansy.
Yeah.
They would do all these things. And I said, that was one thing that I found to be very admirable because she's a leader. She has that leader. You know, not everybody has that like manager leader mentality. Mm-hmm. You
Correct.
Want to, but you're not. You
yeah.
just, you want to have the title, but you don't follow through. But you do. But that was one of the things I told the recruiter. I was like, it's so unbelievable. Like every job after I even worked with her, she just had that presence, which a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
Like you always just think, oh, I'm going to go to the store manager and ask them. And they would ask you or they would text you, tell you what was going on, tell you things that were personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to let you know, like, I'm sorry I've done this, but, you know, my mom's really sick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, you know, your heart broke for them, but they're not telling anybody else.
Correct.
They're not telling the people, maybe the store manager that needed to know, they told you. And I thought that was really, really it. I don't know. I would be proud of that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying thank you. Yeah. I'm just saying it was that was one of the things I said, because I was like, it was unbelievable. I'd see it all the time.
You know, I learned a lot of that from, it sounds funny to tell you this, but from the mentors I got from Golfsmith, you know, Rob, Randy, like, I mean, I remember they relied on me to do this stuff for them, and they got so used to it that you realize how good you are with that, you know, and you just start to learn your traits. And I do give them a lot of credit. And I still remember when I graduated from college, I finally went back and graduated. They're the first two from anybody that I've worked with that I told, because of the fact that they were always pushing
me
and
motivating
me. They're like work dads, you know, like they just had to be there. And I still appreciate them to this day. You know, I don't talk to them as often, but like, I know they're there, and I know if I send a text, like, I'll get a response, you know, but that push that you needed from someone, that's the leadership that I really respected. And there's things that people could look back on and go, whoa, I can't believe you did that. But on another level, I'm like, I was never disrespected. I was never, you know, put in a bad position with anybody, you know? So I was appreciative on that, but that taught me a lot.
Yeah, that was a good, you know, it's interesting too, is I was talking to, I don't even know who, somebody, let's just say somebody. I was talking to somebody who'd listen to me talk. Someone with ears and a heartbeat. They would say, I was saying, like, you know, when you're in it, like, I had this manager at Bath & Body Works, and at the time, she was a store manager. I was assistant manager when I was working there, and she drove me crazy. She was a nice human, but I just... Because I remember thinking, God, she's so like by the book. She's so, and I understood it. And about 10 years ago, I actually sent her a message on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're Facebook friends. Yeah. And I remember saying, you know I didn't appreciate your leadership at the time, but I do. Just so you know, I do. Mm-hmm. I did, and I do now. Mm-hmm. And or I didn't then, but I do now. And she wrote me back this long thing, like how amazing, and she couldn't believe it. And I was just like, couldn't believe it. She's like, you were amazing. But I just would be like, God, she's so like by the book. Yeah. She's so like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like appreciate things, obviously. I know we are getting older, as much as I want to fight it, we are, but you see things so differently.
And I agree.
I mean, just even in like relationships.
Yeah.
Like people that you see a lot of people now, I feel like, and maybe it's just not always the case, but let's say you got married in your 20s, mm-hmm. you know, I'm so thankful I did not mm-hmm. because the person at 22 to the person at 42, you're not the same person.
I agree.
You can tell me you're not the same person. And a lot of times, not in all of them, but sometimes you see the relationship, the kids graduate high school and they realized we are better off as friends, or maybe they hate each other now at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, some cases we really don't align with what we did in our 20s. And that's one thing for me personally, am so, so thankful. I used to have to check the box. I wanted to be married by 28.
Yeah.
I wanted to be, I wanted to meet somebody I had a box, you guys. I had a fucking box, a wedding box.
You had a very strict checklist.
I had a checklist. I thought, you know, oh, he's going to be this tall. He's going to do this. He's going
to dress like this.
He's
going to take me to these places.
It was so stupid because, you know, it was very stupid. But also, I'm so thankful I met David when I did, and I had Charlotte when I mm-hmm. did. And yes, I had Charlotte older in life, but I was ready to be a mom when I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready. I was still being stupid and making very poor decisions. Did you make any poor decisions, Tansy?
Are you supposed to go closer to that when you do that?
It's a whisper.
Is this supposed to imitate something?
We all make some really bad decisions. Maybe not the best. Charlotte will never make any of these decisions. Charlotte will never do anything that is outside of the bubble I've created for her. And she will just do dances and tell mommy that she loves her. That's it.
That, my friends, is called denial.
It is not the river in Egypt. Remember that stupid joke?
How many of you parents have said that?
Charlotte's never going to do anything. She's going to make great decisions always. But I feel that same thing in work too. You maybe hated someone, or you're like, God, this manager fucking sucks. And then you look back and you're like, you know what? They were doing the best that they could then, but I can see why they were the way they were.
True.
And some truly just sucked. Yeah. The end.
You know, you have some people that are sucked, and I don't talk to those people at all, but there is a funny story about Rob. Mm. When I first started working for Rob and I got promoted, Rob. I know, Rob's the best.
Rob is so good.
He still to this day makes me laugh, and I still think of his stories and nothing else I'll put on you know, in public, but like funny stories. But I remember one time he came off vacation, and I think you, I don't know if you're there or not, but if you remember this, please stop me. But he came back and we're a little behind in the back room. Like we had like cardboard that we hadn't like put out yet and stuff. And Rob was furious. Like I've never seen Rob so mad, but like his man was so funny because he started kicking boxes to a point that he just fell flat on his ass on top of these boxes.
No,
and he's like, it's like one of those cartoons, like, yeah. Then he's like, boom. And he goes, get this cleaned up. And he walked out. Like, it was like something so minor, and I don't know what was happening that day. And, you know, at that time, I'm like, what's his problem? But now you look back and you're like,
he
oh, man.
He didn't have a Smirnoff. Like,
he needed that Smirnoff fire from that rolling rock. But yeah, it was kind of like he just, that reaction I've never seen out of him. And, you know, he was always cool, calm, collected,
oh, yeah.
You know, for everything. It could be the worst day of the week, and he's just like, okay, you know, like, all right, well, how would you see this? Or, you know, he always understood, and that part of him is in me, I think, as well. But I still remember little things like that. And I remembered when I first got my store and something was happening, I texted him and I'm like, I'm so sorry about that day when you kicked those cardboard boxes and fell on your ass. You know, like, I just remembered it so clearly. And I mean, it was just such a classic Rob, but never did I see that out of him, but I get it now, you know?
He was a good one. He was a really good one. I remember at the time when I met him, he was at the Santa Ana store. And I'm only going to say this once because, as you guys know, I love to talk.
Yes.
And I am a morning person. I'm a morning person. Robert might disagree because he has to sleep in a castle and get grape leaves fanned over him while he's sleeping. But so we had to be there for inventory or prep for inventory, or I don't remember something. I had to be in Santa Ana from San Diego at 5 a.m. and I get there and I'm Jennifer.
Yes.
Jennifer's on.
Yep.
Jennifer is, hi, yep. Oh my God. And he looks at me and he's like, not right now. Give me a minute. And I was like, okie doke.
Yep-per-doodle.
I'm like, okay, as a cheery and chipper. And then I go over in the corner and I'm, you know, straightening up something, or maybe they just had inventory and I'm supposed to follow them behind, whatever it was. And he comes over to me probably about an hour later. He's holding a cup of coffee and he goes, now I'm ready. And I was like, this guy. Okay, fine. Now yes. I understand, because yeah. Nobody in my life is a fucking morning person. It drives me crazy and I hate it. I'm a morning person. But that's okay. I'm not judging. But I am. Yes. So, okay.
Yes,
so you're getting a fantastic job. I'm so proud of you. As you know, I really wanted you to get out of that retail wheel for so long.
I did.
And
for a
she
long
did
time.
Too. It took her a while. Then she did.
Well, it takes dedication now. Jeez, I can't believe it.
You have to literally, to find a job now is not like it was. I mean, it is.
You have to cut people off. Put focus on that 100%.
So, because you had time off, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you had a lot of time off. And she's like, Jennifer, I literally, like, 8 to 5 was like looking for a job for months, you know?
Yes.
I mean, like, it was a full time job. So, how do people that are trying to, and we go back to this thing, and we talked about it too, and I've talked about it before, is I hate that a lot of times you're stuck and it's always because of money, mm-hmm. because you're scared. Not you in general, but you too.
Oh, no, I was for a long time. You can say
it. But I mean, it is a thing, and it was a thing for me. It was a thing for me too. It was, money is like, oh my God, I hate this job. I want to stab myself. I want to do all these things. But then I have to look for a job and I'm trying to do it at 10 o'clock at night because I can't not have this paycheck, or I cannot, you know, I mean, you have life, right?
Yeah.
And as we know, it's only getting more expensive as every day passes. So that part is challenging, but I know you had some time off and you were unfortunate that you had the time.
Correct.
And finally got a winner there. And it sounds, I cannot wait to hear about it, because I think it's in a different, not a different field, but an umbrella leg to the field you were already in. And she's not going to have to work weekends, guys. She's not going to have to work fucking Christmas Eve and fucking the day after Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You could never do anything. You could never do anything. And I've known you. I think.
I mean, shoot, when your birthday isn't right, 7 days before Christmas?
Yeah.
And you don't celebrate it for you. I mean, granted, I played basketball in the first part of my years, and it's that took over, so I got used to it. But when you look back now, wow, I can't even do anything on your birthday because you got to work. Or,
well, she couldn't, couldn't do anything. And to be selfish.
Yeah.
I'm not being selfish. My birthday is right before Thanksgiving. She couldn't do anything on my birthday.
It's very rare if I can do anything with you. Well, you do love your birthdays.
I do.
That's the one thing of you is like, she'll get pissed off at you you'll get pissed off for whatever the heck you want, but you forget your birthday, you are on the shit list.
Yeah, I feel like it's the one day of the year where you just get to celebrate you. I mean, I try to celebrate me as not as much as I used to, but I just think that's the one day where you can wake up and go, this is my fucking day and no one's going to fuck with me.
Yeah, sure.
And I want to celebrate me. And if that means I'm laying in my bed in my own filth, I can do that. If it means, you know, whatever I want to do. And so I think everybody gets one day and we always live for everybody else and we're doing stuff for everybody else and blah, 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 you know. That's the one day you get to kind of say.
It's also that running around that you do is like you can give yourself a day off. And if you have to give one day off a week, a week, I should be doing a week, but a year, like it should be your birthday. You know, at least give yourself one day.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, life as we get older is a little different. We don't stay out and go out and do all that stuff, but it's like the one day you want to just like celebrate you. And it's like you never got to do that ever, ever. Yeah. I mean, your own birthday.
Slim to none. I made it work once in a while, but slim to none.
Rare. Rare. And it's kind of sad. For you. I
appreciate my family too. They made it work.
Of course.
It was a few weeks early or a few weeks late, but it worked, you know.
Yeah, so
you celebrated it, but
that's like the day I was born. That was the day I was born. Everybody should stop.
You're very technical, so yes, it had to be on the day.
I was born. I've tried to work this out with David, but he doesn't always listen to me. He rarely does.
No.
But I feel that sometimes as I've gotten older, I want November to be my birthday.
The whole month. Yeah.
And he'll just do the one day. Mm. We still haven't mastered that. And we've been together over 12 years. But
yeah, because if you wait for birthday weekend, it takes forever.
Oh, it does. And it's always like 8 years after your fucking birthday. You're like, I'm on my half birthday now.
Correct. And then the times that you can celebrate, you're like, oh, great, it's on a Monday. Like, you know, it's like, whatever. Like, don't even celebrate this. Yeah, I'm over it. I'm
fucking
over it.
Tuesday. It's no done. One can do anything. It's a Tuesday.
Yes. What's the point?
What's the point of living?
My life is over. What's the point?
Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show.
I want to talk about a million things with you, but one thing, I want to switch gears and talk about when I moved up to San Jose.
Okay.
I mentioned this before. I took a job with Under Armour. I wanted to stay in LA because I grew up here. And even though I didn't want to stay in LA, but I wanted to stay in that market. They're like, no, go to Northern California. I had never really been. I mean, I'd visited, but so they had me move to San Jose because I had to be right by. I had to be less than 7 miles from an airport. And it was perfect. It was great. It was fine. I mean, it was fine. It was a good experience. It was a first time, like, really living on my own.
I got some really cool shit. I mean, that's
also, he scored.
My dad,
do you still have that sweatshirt?
You were known as Under Armour Jennifer in my family. My dad used to call you Under Armour Jennifer. Like, is that Under Armour Jennifer?
Yes.
Like, I mean,
yes,
that was your name.
Yes,
that was
it
your
is.
Name.
Yes,
like,
it is.
He knew. My dad, I think the orders I gave you were more my dad's than mine. So,
do you still have the Storm sweatshirt?
Of course I do. I have the zip up. I still have the yoga pants. I still wear them every day. They're the most comfortable things ever. I know you like to get rid of things after 2 years. I like to wait till 25 or 30. That's cool.
I like to wait when you go to zip it, the zipper disintegrates.
Exactly. Exactly. when you can see my butt through it, then I know it's time.
Is that a thong? Yep.
Yeah,
it is. Yep, it is.
Can you see the thong yet? No. Yeah. Okay, then we're still good.
So I moved up to San Jose, and which was interesting. I'm a pretty personable person, I feel. I've worked a lot of jobs, and I still keep in contact with some of my original, like, OG. I'm still friends with some of my original jobs back, in my early, early 20s. And I went up there and I didn't know anybody. And that was weird. Mm-hmm. That was weird. I didn't know anybody. Like, I knew zero people.
Correct.
And that was very intimidating. The plus side is I knew I was like a road warrior, like always in my car going to different stores. And if I wasn't, I was flying.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'm not always going to be home, so I won't feel the loneliness. I just imagine like being this like, you know, girl, like in my apartment, like everyone's out partying and I'm like, don't worry, I'm watching, you know, whatever fucking show I was watching at the time. Probably Sons of Anarchy and Friends. Good old Sons of Anarchy.
That was a good show.
It was a great show. God, I love it. Jax. Which, by the way, I just saw a picture of him at some award show and I'm like, I hadn't seen him in a while.
Still looking good.
He was wearing a really good, that suit was looking good. I'm just going to say
Jax, if you're out there, still looking good.
Charlie, if you're out there.
We like you.
We like the navy blue suit. It fits you to a T. So I went up there and some of my coworkers would come in that market too to kind of, you know, and anytime somebody came up there, and if it was Veronica, if it was you, but not you yet, but or coworkers, they always wanted to go to Alcatraz. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I still don't understand that. I lived up there and didn't go to Alcatraz.
I went with my mom when I was in eighth grade, and we're good, stocked up. There was a period of time where I had gone 5 times and I was like, I cannot go anymore. So if you're coming to visit and you want to do this, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to Alcatraz. I don't give 2 fucks, 0 shits, don't care. And after 5 times, I felt that I could do the tour. No. I could, hey, welcome to the coldest.
Oh, you probably could
this
have.
Is the coldest winter we've ever
had. It's like the people who've gone on the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland so much, they just sit there on the side enjoying it while saying word for word what's happening.
Playing a banjo while they're going through it. Burr, burr, burr. Beep, 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 beep. So I lived up there. Everyone wanted to go. If they didn't want to go to Alcatraz, they wanted to go to Napa.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't mind Napa. I mean, that's a lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking. It was good. Good stuff. Which is funny is I actually don't really forget
Fisherman's Wharf.
Fisherman's Wharf. Yeah. So Tansy, she was very open to, well, also being a very good friend. I mean, she's a great friend. And I also liked having the company.
Yeah.
But she'd be like, you know what? It's a getaway, but I don't really have, she didn't have to spend a ton of money.
At that time, getaway was cheap.
There really was a want to get away, like 50 bucks.
It'd be like 50 bucks, 50 bucks each way.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 bucks to just go to San Jose and come back for a couple of days was fantastic.
So we were you with your boyfriend, your fiance at the time?
I think we were broken up by then. I feel like we were.
She had a boyfriend and a fiance, but it was like seven years.
The bullet I dodged, yeah.
Yeah, the freaking mega bullet.
Oh, that was the biggest bullet I could.
That Kevlar vest we gave you is perfect because that was a fucking bullet. Anyways.
I have a bulletproof vest going forward, but it's cool.
I even wore shin guards.
Yeah. Is this about being single? Because we have to do that one next. But anyway.
So she would come up and she would be like, you know, again, we were very budget. I didn't have a lot of money up there. It was on my own. She didn't, you know, but it was like, let's do, like, we would be low. Local, and then we're like, let's do something fun. And one day you're like, we should go see a 49ers game.
Yeah, because it was a Saturday night or Sunday morning. We bought them Sunday morning, that day of. Yeah, that was the craziest thing
ever. This is when they
were
at Candlestick Park still.
We're the second to the last game.
Yep, we were the second to the last game.
Before they closed it off.
Yes.
And you found those tickets. Yeah. Really quick.
And we found them and we were like.
That was right after that really cool U2 concert. Well, the U2 stand-up or U2 fill-in. I don't know what you call them now. The night before, we went to that London-looking bar.
Yes.
And then U2 cover band
cover
was playing.
Cover band. Yeah. Cover band, yes. Okay, so anyways, we did that. And then the Saturday, we didn't do anything. We just kind of hung out, went local, just like, you know, went around, whatever, bullshit. But we go to this game and we ended up going to 2. She came to visit me twice and we actually went to 2 games.
One of them was planned, the other one was not.
Yeah, one of them was willy-nilly and I said willy-nilly, whatever.
Willy-nilly.
God, I said it. I hate myself. Anyways,
Yep for noodle, Mr. Boodle.
We went to... So I drove the first game.
Yes.
And I don't drink. Okay, as a fun fact, I like to have beverages with friends and it's fun, but I have never drank by myself. I have never had a sip of alcohol by myself. I mean, never, 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 never. Partly because I just always was like, why? you know what I mean? It's fun. Like you're fun. You loosen up. You're fun. What do I do by myself and then be like, okay, good night. I just,
well,
just,
also, if you pour the way you pour for us, then you'd be out in a second, in a
tough
heartbeat.
So the night she was with us, the night before when we were kind of seeing, do we want to maybe try to look and see if we could get these tickets or whatever? Just like bullshitting. We were watching college football. I made a drink and you came around the corner and you go, what did you say?
Was it the gasoline that was the worst?
You came around the corner and she's like,
yeah, your Sky Vodka in the freezer. Yeah, it tasted like gasoline.
It was
coming out of your nose. Yeah, like it was like that smell that just never went away.
It was good. It was a really good drink.
You couldn't hide it for anything.
It was really soon. She comes around the corner. She's like, this is fucking gasoline. I'm like, drink up, buttercup.
Yeah, and then 10 minutes later, you're rapping to Jay-Z on a yoga ball. I'm like, yep, this is gasoline.
With your sunglasses
and the lights off, which made no sense, but okay.
Which I do love to rap, just so you know, I'm a very good rapper. And Jay-Z, if you're listening, we are totally in sync. I nail every single lyric you have.
You did.
Especially drinking. So we go, we're going to go. And I, for some reason, I had two bottles of like a baby margarita and like a baby Jack Daniels, like the bottles, like the little, yes, like correct. The four pack.
It was like these. But little,
why did I have them?
I don't know. You found them the night before in your cabinet and you're like, why do I have these? I don't think you knew that day and you threw them in the fridge and then we took them the next day with us.
So here's our big.
This is, oh my God.
You tell it.
You're really bringing the stories out
you
today.
You tell it because it's so
there
funny.
No wonder there's no prep for this. that day, so that next day, so we drove. So you were kind enough to drive because the second time we took the BART.
I had so much anxiety.
I know.
I don't like trying to park or trying to get out of big crowds.
Which we understood the first time because that first time it was like crazy.
Oh my God, it was absolutely insane.
So we packed these drinks.
I don't know what we were thinking.
Just two. And we just put them in there. We're like, we'll just, you know,
not
do
even
it beforehand.
Two each, guys.
Like, no, just two. Two total.
Like we're hitting it hard with a Jack Daniels punch.
It's like the size of a White Claw, yeah. Right? They're like the size of White Claws. And basically, we get in, we got there early, we pull in, and we got there really early. I mean, really early. People are tailgating all around us.
And you know, they're like, they set up like football stadium. They have like the end zone.
I mean,
people are throwing tables of
49er fans all over.
Oh, and yeah, there's the RVs and things. And
these
we come in
camped.
My Honda Sierra.
Yeah, your Honda Sierra.
It looks like a turtle.
Bumping Jay-Z, by the way.
Always. Mary,
she's into EDM now, but bumping Jay-Z at the time. And we pull in. They lead you in. And so we pull in and we're probably around 2 to 3 different people like cooking. Now we're living with Jen. She doesn't eat breakfast. So I don't eat breakfast. So we're going and we have these drinks. And so smelling all this food, I love brats. I love all this stuff. And I'm smelling all this food. I'm like, man, I'm hungry. And so we start drinking these drinks out of nowhere. And we're making fun of ourselves and taking pictures of ourselves.
But tell the best part of the story,
I'm
though.
I'm going to.
Okay.
And this is probably.
There's two best parts.
So this is probably, in my vision of what I remember the story is, we must have been sitting there for about 45 minutes taking pictures. This is the time when selfies were in. Taking pictures of us posing with a straw and this stupid little drink.
Not even hitting us, just one tiny drink. Nothing.
I don't even know why we're drinking it.
I don't know, it's just drinking water.
And I kept telling her like how the brats smell good. It sounds hungry. And this guy walks up to our door and I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to offer us some food. And I roll down the window and he's like, do you guys realize your car's still running? I guess my dumb shit friend never turned off the car. This car sat there for 45 minutes.
So I wanted to die. I wanted to die.
I was more heartbroken that there was no bra.
No, but he's the wafting of the food, so she's ready. She's thinking he's gonna bring her some.
I was ready for a plate.
I know. She has her hand out, and he's like, "You guys realize you're." Was he even cute,
Kim? If you're listening, you would understand. Like, seriously, no. He was just an older guy, like totally nice guy. And I think he said something like, "Hey, are you guys going somewhere?"
We're like, oh yeah! Oh yeah! The story gets worse because my embarrassment level went from like kill me to bury me, just run me over, be like a dog and just cover your poop.
Also, you're sitting there drinking the drink, listening, and I go, why? And he goes, your car's still running. And I looked at Jen, I go, is the car on? You're like,
I couldn't even hear it. It was a fucking turtle. I was driving a turtle.
Newer car still, too. I mean, newer cars, you can't hear. I don't even know now. You push a button, you can't even hear. No, they're on. But, like, I don't know. It was about 45 minutes. So we sat there.
Oh, my God. And it was
such
so,
fools.
It was so, we were such fools. I wanted to die. So now I'm like,
and I didn't get a brat.
She didn't get shit. Nothing. She got nothing.
Not even a bell pepper.
Not even an onion. You got nothing. Well, we were like, let's get out of the car because I want to slither out of this area and never see these people again.
Yeah, you didn't want to stay in the car. You're like, we're walking in early. No, I don't want anyone to see me.
We'll help them. We'll help them throw plays. This is before Nick Bosa was there, which he is a dreamboat.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I do love sports. Why do I love sports? Well, let's start with how hot the guy is, and then I go into the sport. But I love you, David. But yeah, we walked in and we were fucking dying. We still to this day laugh about it because when she calls me, the picture of Tansy that comes up is the picture of her drinking that stupid little margarita when we were doing a photo
with
shoot.
The skinny ass straw.
This fucking swizzle stick coffee straw. And we hated ourselves. And then the guy didn't even offer her food. And we just, it was fucking hilarious. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I still don't understand to this day. Sir, if you're listening, sir, why did I get a brat? That's all I ask.
Listen,
I just
Bob,
wanted one.
Listen, Bob.
I know you had plenty.
Then we go back another time. So she comes up and visits me again, and we decide to go to another game. But did we go? We didn't go to the new stadium, did we?
No. We went. So the second time was the second to last game when Candlestick, because we were joking about taking a chair. Like, we were like, let's try to take this chair.
We'll bring our
thing. We're so stupid. Like, we'll bring tools. I don't even know what tool you would use to take one of those chairs off.
And could we even carry it? Like, I have no idea.
Okay, cool. Like,
but this time we took the BART.
Yes.
Which is their, like,
because if we had gotten those really cool scarves.
We got free scarves. Yeah. I got rid of mine.
I give mine away. That's fine.
It was so cool. I said, I'm not even really a 49er fan. I mean, now I might be because I've seen who plays for them, saying. I'm not saying. We take the BART, and didn't I make a roadie for us on the BART?
Oh, your roadies are as gasoline as the drink that I drink.
That hurt.
You made it. You're like, I could just put this vodka in this big-ass bottle with some orange juice.
It was a Costco water.
Yeah, it was a Costco. At that time, those Costco waters were like the biggest waters you could find. Now it gets bigger and
now
bigger.
Now it's actually, the Costcos are smaller now.
Yeah, exactly. But you brought, and once again, we didn't eat the morning. So,
because apparently
we do this on an empty stomach, apparently. That's the thing.
Oh my God. So we're on the BART, which to me, I was not born in public transportation. So
going there wasn't bad.
But it's just like, ugh. But we
yeah,
just
it's a
had,
freaky.
We had, it's kind of, you're just a little nervous. I just feel a little like, whatever, you hear stories, whatever. But we had these giant bottles and we knew we couldn't bring them in.
We each had one. So one each this time.
One each. So which is equivalent, would you say at least three drinks?
Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
I mean, this thing is like, so we were dead on the bus or whatever train. We were fucking laughing. We were sweating. We were laughing. We were halfway through the drink and we're like, this is going to be amazing.
This is going to hurt.
This is going to feel hurt. But at least we're not driving.
No, we didn't drive.
What happened? We got free scarves. But anything else happened?
We got free scarves. We went there. That dude in front of us was actually, so I don't remember exactly how this happened, but we got those seats really close. Because it was like the closest seats we could ever afford. And again, we got them for cheap because I think we bought them that day, that morning.
Yeah.
It was like the craziest thing. And
we actually did get good seats.
Yeah,
I remember.
We got really good seats.
For the price.
But
price
we were
point.
Surrounded by people that are like, oh my God, what's happening right now? Like, you know, I don't even know like the experience that was, but they're all so that was our first time. We're in kind of like the cheering squad section of the whole game, which we'd never really been in before.
Yeah.
And these guys are spilling beers everywhere. They're, like things were going on and we were laughing because I think we were pretty buzzed as ourselves.
We were buzzed.
But I mean, it seemed pretty funny. Buzz, it seemed pretty funny, but I don't think anything big. I mean, the game was great. And you know, but going home was a rough one because everybody was on the BART and I felt
everyone
like
was
you know those trains where you go in and like you can sleep on the side and you get on the side. I felt like, you know, where you would put luggage, people were like putting themselves up there. It was so packed
it was so packed
and it was so hot
and everybody was so drunk.
Yeah, it was. And by then we were sober.
We were sober
because we didn't buy any drinks.
I don't think we bought any drinks because alcohol would have been death.
Point. Yeah, exactly.
We would have just died right there.
Like, yeah, I was peeing vodka. I mean, it was going to be fine. Like, it was great. But
no orange juice because here's the orange juice in our vodka.
Yeah, I mean, it just added color. That, you know,
was the faintest of oranges.
Seriously, yeah. You know, use some food coloring in the future. Like, who needs orange juice?
I was peeing
what does
vodka.
That do for you anyway?
Nothing.
But the ride home was the freaky one.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like even grasping your purse because people were like walking up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking at you. And I told her, I think I remember telling you, I'm like, this is the freakiest shit I've ever been in.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. I was like, I'm good with public transportation, which sounds snobby.
No, it can be uncomfortable.
If you were born on the East Coast, if you were born on the East Coast, that is in your blood.
Yeah.
That is not in the West Coast blood. We haven't mastered public transportation, I feel.
Well, you know, at certain levels you have. Like, I've taken the train down to 3rd Street Promenade.
Sure.
You know, and that kind of, you go in Culver City, you take it down, you know, but I can understand, like, especially as a female, if you're by yourself or with just a couple of females or whatever, it feels a little sketchy, you know, and I think that's the part that they're still trying to figure out, you know, especially in LA. I mean, you have so much public transportation. It's very appreciative, but on some levels, yeah, it could be a little sketchy sometimes. I think they just need to fix that somehow. But
and then when you drink a 72-ounce drink.
Yeah, you're really paying attention.
And you're really paying attention.
Yeah, because you're like, eyes are wide open. Like, you're looking at everybody and you don't know what's happening. And then you start imagining that something's going to happen when it really doesn't. Because that's what happens when you're drinking, right?
But it's... Yeah.
I mean,
we had so much fun. I loved when you came and visited because I always just traveled. And then in between, I just was like, what do I do with my time? And then everybody would come visit me or coworkers would be in the market and then they'd stay the weekend or whatever. So it worked out.
You just find a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good.
Well, there's some cool stuff I got to see. Like, I got to see in the, I don't remember what store we're at, but you can see the big tree outside the window. Where you're actually merchandising. And I felt like it was Rockefeller, like, for a minute, because I'm like, wow, this is like Rockefeller in San Francisco. Like, this is cool. I mean, you know, you got to see other things other than Alcatraz that you can actually notice on. The wharf was fun, only because I liked the wharf, but it wasn't a need to be, you know? Like, we did other things. Like, you found some really cool things around there that were fun.
Yeah. I did date a guy up there, and he was very into... you know, we always try to do new things. So I kind of, otherwise I wouldn't have never gone into those areas. You know, if I was by myself, I never do it. I've still never eaten a meal by myself, just FYI.
You need to try that one day. I know. It's actually pretty fun.
And I say that, I mean, I've walked into a Jersey Mike's and got a sandwich and walked out. But I mean, I've never sat at a restaurant. Like, people go and sit at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, when you would travel, you get a per diem, right? And you go and people are like, oh yeah, I went to this restaurant. I sat at the bar. I had a glass of wine and I had a steak or whatever.
Yeah.
I would never fucking do that. And it's so silly because it's in my head about it.
Well, you know, you don't have to worry about it now, but being at this age, like, I think that was after the breakup with my ex, after that whole engagement, that's something that's a part of self-love. Like, you have to learn how to do that for yourself if you're going to be in a relationship that's going to be successful. If you can't appreciate yourself in any way, shape, or form, then it's not going to happen. And that was for me. I'm not saying that I don't give advice to people because I don't follow it. So it's like, I'm just, this is just me, myself. But
I don't follow it.
But eating out by myself and going to a bar and just talking to people, or like going to a movie on my own and just calling it, like, it just, it's
Can
so
I tell
peaceful
you, that's
sometimes.
On my bucket list.
I hope you do it one
day. But that's so silly that's on my bucket list.
Well,
to go
you got
to
Jared
a movie.
Leto and Tron. You're ready. You can go by yourself. David,
I could give zero fucks about Tron, but.
You
Jared
can go.
Leto. I saw the billboard like yesterday.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Is like, you find something that you can just do for a minute. It's actually kind of peaceful.
I feel it would be, but I just get in my head. Not as much as I used to. I used to be really like just, but now I'm like, I could do it. I just haven't had the time to do it. Like, I don't, when I have a day off, I mean, it's not a day off, you know what I mean? And when I don't have a day off, I'm with Charlotte or we're doing, because this kid has a bigger social life than I do.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, let's be honest. I don't remember ever having a little social life like this, like when I was a kid like
but
that.
But even like when, you know, you and I were talking about it last night, since I've known you, I've never seen you fear judgment. And your daughter fears judgment a lot. Like, I just wonder, like, if that's how you might have been when you're younger. I don't know. But like, since I've known you, you've never, you can care less what people thought. you know?
Oh, I cared. But you also didn't know me. I was extremely shy.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Extremely shy.
Yeah, I didn't know that part of you.
Especially in junior high and
high
school.
I'm sure others that, but I never knew that part of you. But that seems to see, you know, but again, she's getting through it because, you know, it they're going to get through it, you know? But I do notice that with her too, is like that little bit of judgment.
Tell me she's so me.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I mean, sometimes I'm like, wow. Because like my mom and I were not, you know, I don't look like my mom. So it's interesting because—
But you and your mom are very close.
Oh,
I hate to tell you that. You are.
But give me an
example.
Well,
I don't hate to tell you that because I love your mom. But like you guys—
Give me one example.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What day and what time?
Do you remember the first time I met your mom? I drove, it was before the fall of Jennifer when I was your domestic partner at that wedding.
So Tansy and I had this thing. We were single forever, right? Single, single, single. And anytime we got an event or a wedding or something, her and I would, more so I felt you always tagged with me because I felt like—
You can't watch with me.
Because you had your boyfriend
you
and your fiance and stuff.
You throw away my steak, but that was a whole other thing.
I didn't know. Always a plus one. She was always my, so we would joke that we were domestic partners.
Yeah.
And then we went one time, okay, I'm going to jump and then I'm going to go back. One time we went to her sister had a party on New Year's Eve and I had just started talking to David, but you and I had made this plan like a long before. And I walk in and I was like super cool. I was wearing like heels, jeans, and like a black blazer. Like, ooh, look at me. I'm so fancy. And we sit there and we look around. And I don't care. Again, I'm not saying this. There's zero judgment in this. But I look around and I'm like, wait, is this a gay party? Besides your sister and her husband, everybody was gay.
Yeah, this was
which I didn't care.
It was all new to you.
It was all new to me. I'd give zero fucks, but all of a sudden I'm like, well, Tansy, your domestic partner, really came in handy here.
If I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone, it was definitely that.
For me,
it's normal, but like if I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone.
And I didn't care. It's just one of those things where you finally just like your
eyeball. Jennifer finally stepped out of the box.
But you just look, I looked around and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Everybody's same sex. Okay. We're same sex. Hold on. Yeah. So we'd be
even somewhere in transition. Somewhere in transition that was your first time experiencing that too.
True story.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
True story.
All very nice people.
I was like, this woman has
sweet.
A beard. I don't understand. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
It's a male.
This is
I'm
life.
I'm teaching you how this goes.
Because I live in a bubble of vodka apparently.
But then once you started playing, Cards Against Humanity with them.
Oh, fuck that.
All of a sudden, you're like, all of that was gone.
Duh,
you're like,
gone.
And then you're like, those people are so much fun. Like, you're just playing.
So amazing.
Like, it's just, it just takes a minute.
It was just
to
a different,
start,
you know.
Just adjusting.
Yeah, just adjusting. But when did you meet? So tell me, were we at a wedding when you met my mom for the first time and you drove?
No, you wanted me to go with you to a wedding in Coronado. I think it was in Coronado.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom, I drove out. To meet, you're staying at your mom's,
mm-hmm.
and I drove out to meet you, and I met your mom that day. And I met your mom, and you guys, I don't know why you all had to go to the mall. Something happened.
I needed to buy an outfit.
Is that
for
what
the
it
wedding.
Was? Okay. Uh-huh. So you all had to go to the mall, so I got in the car with you, and I swear to God, it was bickering the minute you both shut the door, and it was like, boo, 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 like back and forth, and I'm sitting in the back thinking, what the fuck is happening right now? I never met her. I didn't know her, but that spark that she has is like, and now you guys do it. I'm like, it's normal. But at the time, I was like, I'm just sitting there thinking, oh my God. And then at the end, you're like, all right, so what do you think of this outfit? Like, it was just
that sounds
so
about
normal.
Right. That sounds about
and,
right.
And now, like, sometimes, you know, and your mom is, I have so many second and third moms in my life, and your mom I consider is one of them, and such a beautiful person. And like when you guys get into an hour now, and then I see, you know, the way you guys are, when you guys both talk to me separately, like it's the same thing. I'm going, she's like, let me talk to you about something really quick. And then when you're like, you'll be out of the room and your mom's like right there talking to me, and then she'll be out of the room and you're like, oh my God, did I tell you this? And I'm sitting here going, I am like the middleman for this whole thing. Like I'm definitely the sister in this family that's not saying a word to either one of
them. Oh my God,
I
love it.
But some of the times, like you have momisms definitely that are hilarious, but I think we all grow into that because my family, we do the same thing. We call my mom Ginny, and one of us will make a comment. Most of the time, my brother's the one that notices the most. He'd be like, really, Ginny? You know, because he wants to point out like you're totally pulling a mom right now. It just happens, you know, but that's the part of growing up, right? That stuff just starts to come out, but you do have a lot of your mom in you, but I don't think it's a bad thing. We all want to deny it, but it's there.
Oof. There's a couple things I may disagree on, but it's fine. It's fine. It's
well,
fine.
I think you disagree because you're seeing certain parts that I'm not even pointing out. You're just pointing out that you're thinking like, oh my God, it's this, but it's not even that. It's just little small things. Just like what I see your daughter in, and I tell your daughter like the same. I tell Charlotte the same thing. I'm like, man, you're just like my mom. She's like, I know, right?
Yeah.
Like later, she's gonna be like, no.
Yeah.
Like,
now she's like, I know, right? Yeah. She's like watching her with you last night. I was just dying. I'm like, she's so me. Cause I sometimes don't see that cause I'm in it. Right.
But oh,
I
was watching. She's gossiping with me. Like I knew these people and like, just like you do. And I'm like, and then this, and this, and that was not right. And I was like, yeah, right. And like, I was just trying to respond. Cause I was like, how do I keep up with this conversation?
The one time she's super into Dance Moms now, which I think was on like 10 years ago.
Oh man. That lady used to come into my store in Burbank.
Did she?
In her wheelchair.
Oh, Jesus. But Charlotte,
she yelled at everybody.
Of course she did, because she yelled at the show, didn't she?
Yeah, of course.
But Charlotte talks to me, like one day she's like, Mommy, you know, Mackenzie, her mom doesn't let her dance. And I'm like, is Mackenzie in your class? She's like, she's on Dance Moms. I'm like, why would I fucking know that? I don't even know. Is that a thing? And I'm like, is that still on? She's like, no, it was on like in 2010. I'm like,
don't give away your age.
Just kidding. I was born in 2000. I don't care what anyone says. Fuck off. But yeah, it was just funny last night seeing how so I guess it is you, it's not that I don't want to be my mom. Cause I, my mom's amazing.
Yeah, of course.
She drives me nuts though. We could never, after like 4 days, I'm like, cause she always makes these little comments like, the last couple of times I went to her house, I'm like, hey, I'm going to close the door. I just want to lay in bed. And I don't sleep late, but I don't want to be. I don't want to have four fucking dogs. I don't want to have, you know, Charlotte, mommy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just going to lay here. And then it would be like 8 o'clock. Now I'm awake. I've been up since 6:12, but I'm laying there. She's like, oh, finally got up. You got some rest? It's not like I sleep 100 hours a day, Sheila.
For the record, you pull the Sheila's, because I do that to your mom too. She'll be like, and then she came over and then hands me Charlotte. And so she could go take, I'll just go off of your shirt and she could go take a nap. But you love it though. Yeah, but that's not the point. Like, you know, and then you do the same thing. You're like, well, I was up and, you know, but she gave you crap because, you know, though she deeply, heartedly wanted to give you that time, but she's like, she gives you crap just like you would do to David.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know? Like 100%. He walks in, he's like, I worked hard all day, but did you empty the dishwasher? Like, you
know, the trash cans don't take themselves out.
So you have some Sheila-isms in you.
I do. But my mom's awesome. And
She is a fantastic lady.
Tansy, I enjoy talking to you, as we know, and because we have so much to say, and there's so much laughter to provide the universe, we have to split this into two parts. So like, subscribe, and follow, otherwise you won't hear the second part. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Satel for more organizing tips, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.